Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Game Bar and Grill inside the lovely Treasure Chest Casino. We'll be here every Thursday. Want to stop by, say hey. We're at 4540 Williams Boulevard in Kennebra. Now helping to welcome in Zach Nagy, the publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, to the Radio Huddle. And Zach, how you been doing, man?
Doing good on this end. Doing good on this end. How about yourself?
We're doing great here. Obviously another big matchup for this LSU team, taking on a tough South Alabama squad before the bye week. What are the biggest keys you think you need to see from this LSU team before they get a break and get into the nitty-gritty, the meat of the SEC schedule?
Yeah, look, for me, it's all about playing complementary football and playing four quarters. We haven't really seen LSU play a full four quarters of fantastic football so far this year. It's been sporadic. We've seen them come out on the first drive of the game and execute on all cylinders. And then in the second half, we've also seen them do that. But in the first half specifically, it's just been in spurts. For me, in order for this program to kind of reach that next level, it's about playing four quarters of football, coming out the gates hot, carrying that into the first and second quarter, going into halftime, regrouping, and then carrying it into the second half as well. Look, we can classify this team as a second half team right now, but in order to kind of succeed, let's say, in the SEC, it's about playing four quarters of football, both complementary and every other direction of the game. So that's what I need to see from this team, and I'm hoping we can see that this Saturday in Death Valley.
Zach, one of the things we've seen the emergence of over the past few weeks, and I know you and I have talked about him, Aaron Anderson, that wide receiver. We're looking for that guy who will be that number two player at wide receiver until Chris Hilton is able to come back. The good news is, looks as though Chris will be ready to go Saturday night in Tiger Stadium against South Alabama. But your thoughts on the growth of Aaron Anderson? You see a much more confident player. Him catching the football. And no one ever contested how well he could run with the football after the catch. He always has that skill set. But it's his route running skills and getting into and out of a cut and a break so much quicker than we saw a year ago, and his confidence in catching the football.
Yeah, Mike, I think he's really kind of hitting his stride here. And we talked about needing that wide receiver, too, to step in and kind of emerge and take the pressure off of Kyren Lacy. I think he's doing just that. And statistically, he's kind of proving to be kind of your most productive receiver right now. Obviously, Kyren Lacy is a guy who can take it to the next level and become this elite-level talent. And Aaron Anderson is coming in here and being very complimentary to what we need for him to do in Baton Rouge. And look, it's a guy who's finally healthy. He's dealt with knee injuries. He's dealt with other injuries. And now we're seeing what he's capable of when he's 100%. And right now, look, he's doing everything that you need him to do. He's taking the pressure off of guys like Kyren Lacy. He's opening up different dimensions of the game. You can get it to him in the open field, and he can turn it upfield for a chunk yard play. He can get downfield and catch an intermediate route as well. So, look, he's leading the team in yards per catch. He's doing a lot of things that you want from your wide receiver, too. Obviously, things will change once Chris Hilton's back in the fold and eventually gets healthy. You can't expect him to come out and kind of come out clicking on all cylinders his first game back. It's going to take time, and Brian Kelly's alluded to that. But when referencing Aaron Anderson and Aaron Anderson only, this is a guy who's unlocking different elements to the offense, and it's been a really, really nice spot to see him in.
The other guy on the defensive side, the football, I talked to Pete Jenkins last night about it. And it was funny, before the season started, he brought up two names. He said, I think Savion's in for a big year. He's playing the right position. And he said, Mike, watch Braden Swenson. He's got a chance maybe to really piece this together. And Pete actually coached or helped mentor him when he was at Oregon, because Pete works with the Oregon Ducks defensive line and linebackers. And your thoughts on Braden? And, man, he's having a great season so far for LSU.
Yeah, I think Braden's making himself a lot of money this year right now. I mean, he's piecing together a strong start. And, again, it's just about consistency for this program. And he's been one just incredibly consistent piece of that defensive line. And for me, all along, going into this season, it was going to be about how productive your edge rushers were going to be. We've seen Savion Jones and Braden Swenson take a lot of the pressure off of that interior, where you and I have talked on several occasions. Look, the lack of depth is an issue, but as long as your guys on the outside can take pressure off of them, they can be productive, serviceable pieces. And we've kind of seen that over the last couple of weeks. But when highlighting Braden Swenson as a whole, man, he is putting together, and it's just a sensational year. He's number two in the SEC in sacks. We got two forced fumbles. This is a guy who's been productive. And I don't really see him slowing down, Mike. This is a guy who I think is going to carry it into SEC play and really do everything you need from him in order to kind of make this defense as serviceable as they can be.
Zach, a look back, it's always tough to lose a guy like Harold Perkins, because sometimes when he's not making a play, offensively, you want to know where he's at.
Right.
And you're trying to scheme to make sure he doesn't make the big play. And it opens up other things. And even Braden has brought that up. It's opened up things for him. It's opened up things for Savion. But if they go to the three linebacker sets, kind of explain everybody how that mix would be and how it would look. Certainly the Weeks brothers, it looks as though they got two of the three spots. But how would it look like for the Mike and also in the Sam linebacker position?
Yeah, look, I'm really intrigued to see how defensive coordinator Blake Baker kind of works this thing out. And like you alluded to, look, Harold Perkins is a fantastic football player. He can change the trajectory of the game in the blink of an eye. This is a guy who offensive coordinators and offenses as a whole have to keep tabs on before the snap, during the snap, during the play, you name it. All eyes have to be on number seven. Now, obviously, you lose that kind of key defensive playmaker. And look, box score doesn't tell the story for a guy like Perkins. He can do a lot of things that might not show up in that category. And now you kind of switch over to life without Perkins. And what's that going to look like? I mean, for me, you just worked as a 4-3 defense. You had Whit Weeks alongside Perkins and Greg Penn. For me, look, moving forward, I'd really like to see them go back to that 4-2-5 defense. I think that's something that Blake Baker and the defense are going to have to work with. That's four defensive linemen, two linebackers, and five defensive backs. Insert Major Burns at that star role and work from there. Look, Mike, I'm sure we're going to see a lot of different looks this weekend. You're playing against an inferior opponent where you should have the opportunity to test different things prior to SEC play. But for me, I'd really like to see them utilize that 4-2, 4-2-5 defense, get with weak significant snaps, and move on from there. A guy that you could see take the field on a couple of different plays is going to be Xavier Atkins, true freshman linebacker. He's a guy who they're going to look to activate if need be. That way you have four serviceable linebackers in Greg Penn, the Weeks brothers, and then insert Xavier Atkins as well. They've been really high on what he's doing off the field, on the field, and they could see him becoming a key piece to what they do down the line. I'd be very, very much expecting to see him see the field this weekend.
Zach, how much meat on the bone is Xavier Atkins?
I like what Xavier Atkins brings to the table here. This is a guy who's got nice size. He's been living in the weight room. He finished his last season of high school football in Texas. He's originally a Louisiana native. He's sitting over there around 200, 215. He's got some nice physique, Mike. I think this is a guy who could continue to hit the weight room more, put on size. But long-term, this is a player that Blake Baker and the rest of this defensive staff are very much looking forward to seeing what he can do.
You did a long interview with a guy that I think as we get into the SEC play, I think will emerge more and more, and that's Tre'Davious Green. Because one thing, even when he's covered, he's open. I mean, you know, when you're 6'7" and a half, there ain't no 6'7" and a half defensive back or linebacker covering you downfield. And your thoughts on them maybe – because we've seen so much of Mason Taylor, and he's such a tremendous football player. But with Pimpton and also with Green, their emergence more as the season goes on, because we know Brian Kelly wants to use more of the two tight end and maybe even three tight end sets.
Yeah, Tre'Davious Green is the guy who's a class act. He's a fantastic player to sit down with and talk it over with, talk ball with. But look, at the end of the day, Mike, this is a player who's only played two seasons of football. He played his 10th and 11th grade year, had to sit out his senior year due to eligibility and stuff. He played that last year as well. For me, when I'm looking at a guy like Tre'Davious, he has all the intangibles to become that up-next great tight end out of LSU. I'm really excited to see what he can do long-term. Like you said, he's a red zone threat just waiting to kind of burst on the scene. We've seen him get in the end zone already this year on a short route. But look, like you said, he's a 6'7", 245-pound monster. He has a basketball background that allows him to utilize that vertical. He can go up and get it. Same thing goes for Kamorian Pimpton. And so moving into SEC play, I'd love to see them utilize him as red zone threats. These are guys who are just waiting and kind of itching to get on the field, itching to make plays. We know what Mason Taylor can do in that tight end room. This is a guy who is just an incredible talent. I call him Mr. Reliable, Mr. Consistent. Obviously, he's rewriting the record books in Baton Rouge. Mason Taylor's a guy who can teach those two young guys how to become up next, teach them what it takes to become a great tight end at LSU. And when I look at a guy like Tre'Davious Green, I don't think there's a ceiling on what he can do. 6'7", 245, can go up and get it, be a talented receiving threat. Utilize him in the red zone. I'd love to see him get in the end zone this weekend just to boost his confidence going into SEC play. We've already seen them do that with a youngster and Kyle Parker. I'd like to see them do that with Tre'Davious Green as well.
Zach, I don't know if you got a horse in the race or not, but give me your thoughts. Alabama, Georgia this weekend.
Yeah, it's a tricky, tricky game. I'm a big fan of what Georgia can do. Obviously, we saw them struggle against Kentucky, and that made me scratch my head a little bit, just knowing kind of how Kentucky struggled against South Carolina. We saw how that game went. And then now we look at a team like Alabama, who's in year one under DeBoer. I'm really intrigued to see what they can do. I'd love to see Alabama kind of come out there and take that game over. Obviously, I'm a Louisiana native, so that's going to get a lot of people kind of, you know, not necessarily agreeing with that take. But look, I'd love to see Kalen DeBoer and that Alabama Crimson Tide team go and get a big win over Georgia. They're creating a dynasty over there in Athens, and I'd love to see kind of these two programs who have built up so much history go at it. And I'd like to see Kalen and his crew go out and get a big-time win.
Man, Milroe, you talk about big games for the quarterbacks. Carson Beck at Georgia and then Jalen. Getting to know Carson and Jalen at the Manning camps. Man, boy, it was so funny. Bill Belichick is there. Okay, he don't come to Manning. So I think he's looking for a job, so to speak, for next year. The first guy he went talk to, Jalen Milroe. Second guy, Carson Beck. Bing. 1-2.
Jalen Milroe is a class act, man. That's a guy who's just a fantastic interview, fantastic person, fantastic player. Looking at a quarterback battle that's going to have all eyes on it, wouldn't be surprised if all 32 NFL teams sent a scout out there to go and kind of watch what's going on over there in that game. But Carson Beck's a guy who's a fantastic game manager, can make the big-time play when need be over there for Georgia. It's going to be a big-time matchup. All eyes are going to be on it. I can't wait to see how it goes down. For me, I'd like to see the Crimson Tide come out and get a win, but who knows what's going to happen in this one.
Talking to Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. Back to this matchup with South Alabama, Zach. You have the Major Applewhite coming back to Baton Rouge, has really downplayed his, you know, coming back to his hometown. But I think obviously he's going to have this Jags team really jacked up for this game. What can we expect from South Alabama in this matchup against LSU?
Yeah, South Alabama's got a lot of juice on offense. They got Gio Lopez, who's a fantastic, dynamic quarterback, can utilize his legs to extend the play. And we've seen him do that on numerous occasions in this year. He's a true freshman quarterback. He's still young on the scene. But he can do a lot of things with his legs, and he can utilize his receivers, specifically Jamal Pritchett. That's his top guy. And I'm looking forward to seeing how that kind of duo works out against the defensive back room in Baton Rouge. That's kind of struggled a little bit. But their bread and butter is on the end. This is a program who can really, really get after it in their rushing attack. And it starts with Fluff Bothwell. Believe it or not, that's his actual name. And this is a guy who's really, really getting after it. He averages over 9 yards a carry. The South Alabama offensive line has given him opportunity after opportunity to really take advantage of his opportunities. So I'm looking forward to see the challenge this weekend. I do believe that LSU's defensive line will be put to the test against a super talented team. But at the end of the day, I think LSU's going to come out and get this win.
Last question for you, Zach. Your thoughts on the development of Cade Durham at running back? And everybody got an opinion. Sometimes I think we got to get him new TVs. But, you know, we talked a couple weeks back about how fast he was. So we had a couple texts. Man, he don't look that fast to me. You saw that pass out in the flat. And those UCLA guys thought they had a bead on him and an angle. And he just outran him to the end zone. More and more confidence each week in Caden Durham. And I know we'll always be running back by committee with Brian Kelly. And so we'll see with Caleb Jackson and Josh Williams. But, man, Caden Durham is making a statement here, not only as a runner, but also as a receiver coming out of the backfield.
Yeah, Mike, he's a speedster. I mean, this is a guy who didn't enroll early in January because he wanted to finish his last year of track with Duncanville. He's an uber-talented player who has the ball in his hands. Look, he's quick, he's twitchy, he's fast, he's athletic. You name it, that's Caden Durham. I've been really excited about the opportunities that he's been presented so far. Obviously, everybody in the world wants to see him become that lead back and take over. But there's so many elements to being a successful running back in the SEC, whether it's pass protection, et cetera. And that's Josh Williams' bread and butter. But for me, heading into this weekend, I'd love to see Caden Durham get in the end zone. I talked about it before with Tre'Davious Green, kind of getting that juice, kind of getting that momentum shift, carrying that in SEC play. I'd like to see that happen with Caden Durham as well. He's a guy who's super athletic. We've seen him succeed against South Carolina in an SEC game already. Let's get him in the end zone again, give him double-digit touches, and I think it's all it's going to do is boost his confidence moving forward. Fantastic player. I'm excited to see what he can do for the rest of the season.
Zach, always great insights from you. Appreciate the time. Be talking to you soon. Be sure to check out all his great work, folks. LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. Zach Nagy, appreciate the time. And you can follow him at ZNagy20 on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Appreciate the time, Zach.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you, guys. You have a good one. Stay in touch.
All right.